Cloud sharing.
Sid, you could make Irfan a co-host.
I have to make Irfan a co-host? Okay.
You could. That's one option.
Yeah. Or you could just share the screen, whatever works.
Let me give you, make you the co-host then. So let me go to. Okay, Irfan, now you are co-host. So
yep.
Can you, yeah.
So can you guys see my screen?
Yeah, Irfan, we can.
Yes.
So let me know whenever you're ready, Sid.
I think you should go ahead. Since we are pressed in time, I would like to have as much time possible for you.
Yep, thank you everyone. And welcome to the kickoff for the Encar HPC users group. I wanted to share basically some details of the new system. Now, this is just the first of many engagements we will have. So I'm going to try to stay a little bit more at the high level, but we definitely plan to deep dive, especially for this user environment and the software stack and some of the internals of the hardware, including interconnect. So just to give you a little bit historical perspective, we kicked off this project in June of 2018. And, you know, I started putting the core team together almost in June of 2018. And the core team included technical evaluation team, business benchmark facility team, as well as a contract and legal team. But the most important was the science requirement advisory panel, because we wanted to get input from our scientists and users. Not just looking at how Cheyenne was utilized and look at the metrics and data that we collected from Cheyenne, but we also wanted to be forward-looking. So we had a number of meetings with the science requirement advisory panel and over 30 plus science cases that was used to form the technical requirement for the new system. We also engaged the technology development divisions and other subject matter experts from within CISL to get a total solution, not just from user perspective, but also from facility, as well as how we can maintain the new system going forward. Because one of the most important things that SRAP and users have been pressing us on is they want more storage, but they also want system that's available and usable. So we put a lot of emphasis, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in detail. So the main objective of NWSC was to provide a highly productive data intensive supercomputer for NCAR and users and application, but also try to see if we can build on the success of Cheyenne, especially what we learned from Cheyenne. And also invest in exascale and GPU architecture and also cloud computing technologies, because there is a lot of proof that these could become prevalent technologies in the next 5 years. Now, also we wanted to make sure that we could enable our application through optimization and refactoring to make use of these new technologies. And also one of the guidance from CISL Council was to make sure that the users remain productive throughout the transition to NWSC and beyond. And that's why we do not plan to decommission Cheyenne until the end of 2022. So after consultation and user requirement, and looking at our budget, we decided that the new HPC system should be at least 3 times the sustained capability of Cheyenne. And working with the benchmark team, we created a suite of benchmarks, and that's benchmark, running on all of Cheyenne would get us one CSEP or Cheyenne Sustained Equivalence Performance. So we basically provided that suite as well as guidance to the vendors and said, well, you must at least get minimum of three Cheyenne. And also we wanted 60 petabyte usable file system. Another guidance in the RFP was that the split should be 80-20, and the split is not by budget or the node count, but on the CSEP itself. So you'll see 80% of the CSEP is CPU and 20% is GPU. Another thing that we've been kind of getting requests from not just other labs, but also management and NSF is cloud bursting capability. So we did invest in cloud bursting capability in terms of deliverables. It did not cost us money, but the new scheduler will have a GUI interface that will allow you to launch instances on Azure and in AWS. Primarily, we'll be targeting AMPs and some of these special campaigns because it does require additional funding. So we do not, SISL will not provide the funding. If people have cloud credits or UCAR, NCAR has that funding set up, then users will be able to burst out. The scheduler would be configured to do that. And also, I won't go into much details, but basically our plan is to start the accelerated science discovery in January, first week of January, and then maybe after 3 months, we'll open the system to the rest of the users. We also had options to grow this system if needed. So one of the cool aspects of this procurement, which as far as I know, we have never done in the past, is after the request for information or the RFI phase, we had co-design workshops where we invited the vendor and technology providers to sit down with us for the whole day and basically kind of working side by side, in a collaborative and consultative approach, create solution and innovation and improvement on their RFI responses. So basically the co-design outcome was we configured and architected a system that we were able to provide real-time input and feedback. Otherwise, what happens is that vendors respond to our RFP, we look at the RFP and we don't like certain things, and then we ask them to go for an FRP, and that can become problematic. But what we did here was we basically in co-design workshop were able to iron out a lot of those issues, and that made the RFP response more targeted towards our requirement. It was very much closer to our requirement. Now, we did not have a smooth sailing with this RFP. There were a ton of constraints and issues. One of the biggest challenges that I saw was we have limited domestic HPC vendor pool, high performance computing. Now, HPE acquired SGI and Cray, so basically we were down to just IBM, HPE, and Dell. Now, IBM is not cost competitive. They were extremely expensive, and the problem with Dell was that they do not provide quotes for a product that are not ready to ship. So we were asking them to quote a product that would be another 18 months away from delivery date. So it was challenging for Dell because our facility takes time. So we, Dell pretty much did not bid. The other thing is that small vendors like Penguin Computing and others like Aspen Systems, they do not have the resources to run our benchmark because it's very resource intensive. So they just sit out these kind of procurement. And that's why I'm working with TDD and others to see if we can simplify our benchmarks. If you look at what Oak Ridge is doing, they're trying to take a lot of their workflow and put it out there on the, make it publicly available and make it more closer to synthetic benchmarks. So we need to also look at that if we want to invite some of the smaller vendors. And my apologies, I'm going fast because I don't have too much time. COVID-19 added significant challenges. Most of the vendors had problem getting price warranty, and they also had issues with getting resources to do some of the RFP work. And also there is constraint upon us that we have to Buy America Act because of the Buy America Act. They were Bull or Atos and Lenovo were very much interested, but we could not invite them because they are not American companies, so we are limited by that. So what are we getting? We are basically getting a Cray system. It used to be called Shasta, now it's Cray EX. The peak will be just about 20 petaflop, 60 petabyte usable. It's about 82 petabyte of raw storage. And here's the good thing, the CSUP that we are getting is actually 3.51. So it's more than what we had asked for. And as you can see, 2.743 is on a traditional CPU, which is basically an AMD Milan. And then the 0.67, it's almost about 70% of Cheyenne in terms of CSUP is on GPU. And all of these GPUs are the NVIDIA Redstone A100 Tensor Core graphic processing unit GPUs. Now we do have confidence in Craytream, so we are very excited about that. They have a very large install base, Oak Ridge, Argonne, NERSC, El Capitan at Lawrence Livermore, and even more recently, El Capitan at Lawrence Livermore, and more recently Los Alamos also went with the Cray. So that they have a pretty large install base. Another thing we are doing differently with this one is that there would be an on-site person. So that will reduce our time to resolution for problems. And the scheduler on this system is going to be PBS. So you will not have to change your job submission script. We're also planning to move all of Casper from Slurm to PBS. So going forward, we'll have a single scheduler. I'm not going to spend too much time on this slide. This is kind of what I've already discussed. I just wanted to share the graphics of what the racks will look like. And I will share these slides with Sid so he can put it out there. Some more details. There are about 2,570 nodes total. 2,488 are compute, while 82 are GPU. The CPU nodes will have our dual socket, 64 core, 2.6 gigahertz Milan CPU. These are 7 H1-2, but I'll appreciate if you don't share that out because AMD has asked us not to. These are not yet publicly available. So this is under NDA. Please don't share some of these details. GPU, as I mentioned, is, will have a single socket AMD 64 core, same host CPU as the other one, but it also has 4 NVIDIA Redstone GPUs. These are all SMX4, which means these all will be NVLink interconnected for GPU Direct. And also all of these will have 40 gigabyte of high bandwidth memory. These are all HBM2 memory. The interconnect on this is the Cray's Slingshot. It's about 200 gigabit per second per direction, and the latency is 1.7 to 2.6 microseconds. So it's pretty comparable to Mellanox. Now it will also have 8 login nodes. 6 login nodes are just pure CPUs, while 2 of them are more have CPUs, but also have GPUs more for compilation and on interactive work. The operating system on the new system is a variant or a microkernel of SUSE Linux. It's Cray Linux environment. As I mentioned, the scheduler will be PBS, but we do plan to support all kind of containers, especially any container that supports the Open Container Initiative standard will be supported on this machine, especially Docker and Singularity. For programming environment, you have the CPE or the Cray programming environment that will support OpenMP 4.5 and 5, as well as MPI version 3.1. The Cray performance analysis tool will be included. And then we also have the NVIDIA compiler environment. Just to make you aware of the NVIDIA compiler environment, that formerly this was called PGI. Now it's more a freely downloadable compiler, but we will have full support on this, which the free version does not. So we do have the HPCS, I think is what NVIDIA calls it, So we will be able to escalate problems, and then we'll have 50 seats of Intel Parallel Studio. And then the file system, as you will notice, is different. It's a Lustre and not GPFS. Now, I will encourage you to discuss with Sid and others, and I'll also be attending these NHUG meetings if you have requirement for other software stack, but also reach out to Brian Vendor-Wendy, who's the lead from the application side for NWSC. For storage, I mentioned 60 petabyte usable. If we can expand it or double it if we have the money. In the future, it has about 300 gigabyte per second aggregate bandwidth, but we will also connect it to Glade and our campaign storage. And from there, it'll have 200 gigabyte. We plan to use a flash for metadata. And as I mentioned before, it'll have Lustre file system and not GPFS. So I just wanted to give you a little bit quick background on the different type of nodes. So the Cray cabinet, which they call Olympus, basically consists of 8 chassis, and each of these chassis can support 8 compute blades, which are in the front, and 8 network blades, which are installed in the rear of the cabinet. Now, the good thing about these cabinets is there's no black plane in the chassis to provide network connection between the compute blades. It's actual orthogonal connections between the network blades and the compute blades that provide the network connections. So this is different than Cheyenne. And the benefit of this, that without having a backplane, it means nothing is hardwired. So we can simply swap out the nodes, or change the network blades. You're not tied to one type of CPU. And a lot of vendors, what they're doing is they say that these cabinets can have a life of 10 years. So instead of completely taking everything off the floor and replacing it, you can simply replace the compute blades. Again, that's something to see. Now, each of these cabinets have hold 64 compute blades and 64 switch blades. And you can have 256 CPU only nodes or 128 GPU only nodes. The CPU nodes, will have 8 memory channels that are fully populated with 1 dimper channel. All of these are dual rank memory, especially because we want to provide the optimum memory performance. And we are giving you guys a sufficient capability of 256 gigabyte of memory per node. For the GPU nodes, it'll have 512 instead of 256. Again, all memory channels are fully populated with DDR4 3200 DIMMs. And each GPU is configured, as I mentioned before, single socket, 4 NVIDIA GPUs. Now, the difference between a CPU and GPU node in terms of network is that GPU nodes will have 4 network injections. Okay, so that will give you almost 800 gigabits per second. So just to touch on Lustre, the parallel file system will not be GPFS, it'll be Lustre, and it's going to use cluster store E1000 hardware, which is Cray, and it'll be considered into a single Lustre file system called Scratch, and it'll have a single namespace that is POSIX compliant, and you can access it through a single mount point. We expect that the file system scrubbing policy will be about 6 months or even more. So you'll see a different Scratch scrubbing policy, not the 90-day you have right now. So very quickly touching on something that is, RASM, basically reliability, availability, serviceability, usability, and manageability. And Sid, this is not the South Indian curry RASM that you and I are aware of. This is different. So basically what we are trying to do is make sure that electrical and mechanical components are on UPS. We want to make sure that the storage and file system has a higher availability, which is 99%. But we are also trying to take advantage of feature and functions that Cray system provides for higher RASM. And this is something we've been very, very focused on while working to architect the system with Cray. This is an interesting slide that you might want to look at in your free time, but it gives you the history of supercomputing at NCAR from 1960s to 2025, because that's when we plan to keep operating the new system. It's I know it's pretty small, but you can magnify it. And this is mostly in your free time, you can look at it. So this is a good slide that I wanted to share with you. It gives you a little bit idea of how much flops the new system will be. So you will see with Cheyenne and the new system, we will be above 25 petaflops. And then this is similar, but it gives you the storage capacity. If you look at campaign storage, which is 66 petabyte, Glade, which is 38 petabyte, object store, which is 5, and then you look at the 60 petabyte that will come. So we have a lot of storage once this system will get installed. Obviously, we will start decommissioning some of the older storage in Glade. This kind of just gives you the maximum power consumption. So you'll see we'll be reaching close to 4.5 megawatts a year. You know, if I may be mistaken, but I think Cheyenne City is 4 or 5 megawatt total. But anyway, that's just off the top of my head. Don't hold me to it. This is a slide that I really like because it gives you the sustained megaflop per second per watt. If you compare Cheyenne, which has about 73 sustained megaflop per watt, while the new system will have 171. So you can see that the new system is much more energy efficient. This is my final slide. I think not the final, there's one more, but this kind of gives you when we will be accepting this machine. I hope to complete the acceptance test in December, open it for accelerated science discovery in January, and then in late March, early April, it'll be open to all the users. I also wanted to touch on some things we are doing on Casper. You will be also hearing about this at the WIP talk tomorrow, but we added recently new GPU nodes. We have also moved RDA off to their own dedicated node. A lot of users were complaining about that RDA was kind of had longer queue with wall clocks. So they were kind of causing issues, but we are also adding 64 high throughput computing nodes. These will all have HDR, 384 gigabyte memory. They will be new dedicated login nodes on Casper. This was another user requirement. And then as I mentioned, Slurm will be migrated to PBS. So you will have a common scheduler across the board. So that kind of ends my slides. I'm 4 minutes over time. Any questions? I will be happy to take that.
So Irfan, there were a couple questions that popped up into the chat. One from Jim Edwards is, will GPU direct storage be available?
So that's something we have not looked at, but I would like to get some requirement from Jim. What does he mean by GPU direct storage? And how will he take advantage of it? And absolutely, we can look into it. So I need the, so Sid, maybe can you work with and Brian, both of you, because these are two different, and get his requirement. And then definitely, I think that's a very interesting question.
Yeah, we'll follow up with Jim. That sounds good.
Another question, Irfan, from Ethan Gutman was, how will cloud bursts interact with Glade or other storage?
So that's actually pretty challenging because one of the challenges of cloud is that, you can't run in the cloud. You can't fire an instance and just run something unless you have the data you need to run your jobs. So, there are very few different options. One is that you basically have some kind of a data common, data share environment that's very readily accessible. It's on the edge of cloud, and there are ways to do that. The other is that you basically get some persistent storage on the cloud where you can pre-stage your data before you run it. That's very costly because you have to continuously pay for that persistent cloud. The other option that we can do is you basically upload your data, after you have your instance ready, run your job. When you're done, you download your data back. But then that has its own challenges because you have to pay for moving data to and from the cloud. So right now, all of these things are being looked at. I think, you know, over the next few months and a couple of years, we need to find a happy medium that works for us and is cost effective. But as I said, you know, there are costs involved in all of these. My apologies, I have to jump into another ABR meeting. I will be more than happy to come back at the next meeting and answer additional questions. Sid, is that okay if I drop off?
Yeah.
I think we can handle it from here, Irfan. Thank you
very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Irfan.
So one of the questions to the group was Dave Gill asked a good question about the NDA parts that Irfan alluded to. I believe he was referring to the clock speeds on the chips at that point, Dave.
And any more questions, Mick or Brian, that we should be discussing?
Yeah.
Yes. Go ahead, Mick.
Go ahead, Brian. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So John Klein asked about the Lustre file system and if it's going to be mounted on Casper. and I see Bill Anderson is in this meeting, so he could speak to this as well. But I believe that the Lustre is, it should be mounted onto Casper. As far as the GPFS storage being mounted on NWSC3, I think the current plan is no. But specifically, I'm talking about the scratch space in Glade. But again, Bill can speak more to that if he has anything to add.
Hi, Brian. Yeah, some of those plans are still being finalized. Like you said, and I don't know if Jared's on this call, he could weigh in as well, but our plan is to mount the scratch from NWSC3 onto Casper. There is discussion about mounting some of the campaign store and the current home file system onto NWSC3, but no final decision has been made there, is my understanding.
Thanks, Bill.
I think, Sid, that's it for questions. Sorry, and I apologize if I've missed one that someone asked earlier.
Okay, yeah, certainly we can go back to the questions. And as I mentioned in the beginning, the whole session is being recorded. Any of the issues that we haven't addressed, we can come back to the next meeting. And this will be a monthly meeting, as we have mentioned earlier into our white page. So let me get on to this user group structure, what we are expecting. So can you see my slide?
Yes.
Okay. So here is what we had as agenda. We already covered Irfan's talk, and then a few logistics. I will get to that in a minute about the group and this meeting series, the structure of the meetings and communications that we would like to have, our current priorities. And then finally, I will hand over to Brian for application team perspective. Once we get to that, we will know more about it. So a few logistics. All meetings in this series will be recorded. The only reason we want to do that is to be able to capture all the conversations that will be happening. And as you realize, there are a lot of people in the meeting, and we need to capture most of the opinions or most of the questions that you have or concerns you have, so that we are able to address those. We will share with members the recordings, minutes, agenda, slides, etc. All participants muted by default as you join, as you probably you have noticed already. Comments, questions, use raise hand feature if you want you want to speak, or just flash in the chat window as you have been doing already. We are monitoring the chat. you may email this mailing list anytime for lengthier response, which will be a little more persistent response over there. It's a shared inbox type Google group where we will be monitoring all the mails. Then about NHug and the meetings. This is a user group. User group that is for you and by you. Your needs. This is about your needs, how you want us to serve you. About our services, what you like, do not like. We do not have currently, but you want us to offer. You have experienced elsewhere. You want us to offer, for example, already in the chat window, you have seen the mention about the Docker container came. So we do not have a very extensive, elaborate or extensive support for Docker container currently, but we do support Docker container. But similarly, that's just an example. Many other things that we do not support currently, but you need us or want us to offer. This is the forum we would like you to voice your concern to. About the meeting, ideally we administer and set platform for your voice. So it is your platform. We are just giving you the context so that you are able to speak. If you want to organize it differently, it's up to you. We are just giving you this organization to modify to your needs. Now the communication. The easiest way to communicate will be send a mail to nhug@ucard.edu. I'm sorry, give me a second. Sorry about that. So email, what is happening?
Sid, I think if you use, you know, arrow keys to move on the slides instead of clicking.
Probably that's better. Sorry about that. I do not want to do that. Yeah. So this is our web page. We in the invitation mail, I have given the link of this page. This the wiki. The wiki is our primary communication medium where you can have persistent storage of all of our communication and all the sharing that we will need to have will be there. All the meeting minutes, recordings, etc. Anything you want to create a new page or add a comment, add an agenda for future meeting. This is the place where you would go and place your concern. So there we maintain agenda, minutes, slides, links to recordings, etc. Current priorities in WSC3. Obviously, the next year by this time, we will have the machine fully in production. So particularly to keep the GPU partitions utilized, as you all know, our flagship codes are not suited for GPU partitions. So we want new applications, either MLDL or any model like MPASS or any other models that have been already ported onto GPU to focus on GPU partitions, ASD port projects for GPU partitions, your training needs, anything that we are missing. This is just to give you an example of things that we need to discuss over here. And then I hand over to Brian for more detail about the application tip focus for NWSC3. Brian, you can take from here.
Yeah, thanks, Sid. So I'll just briefly describe what our team is doing right now. So there's a bunch of deployment teams that have been structured as we work towards the deployment of NWSC3. And one of the teams that Rory, Kelly, and I are leading is this application team. I would say this is the most user-centric team. We're concerned about things like application readiness. We want to make sure that our flagship codes, but also these newer codes, are ready to run on NWSC3, and similarly that NWSC3 is ready to run those codes. We want to make sure that anybody who's interested in getting spun up using GPUs or has questions about, say, the PBS scheduler configuration, or concerns about the AMD chips or anything like that, that we can make sure that you feel like you're ready to move to the new machine when it's deployed. We're also charged with constructing, or at least prototyping, the user environment. So things like, the software stack, things that work well for you right now, things that you anticipate being a challenge maybe in a more heterogeneous compute environment. Those are the kind of things that we're interested to do some outreach and get your feedback on. So, that doesn't have to happen in this meeting, of course, because these are parallel efforts, I would say. But I just want to bring attention to what we're doing. And if you want to reach out to us about any of these concerns, you can send myself and or Rory an email, and we'll certainly be in touch. And things like, some of the questions that have come up here about, how workflow managers will work with the PBS configuration for the scheduler, and certainly any questions about GPU computing and how we intend to structure that on the new machine. Those are great things for us to discuss with you moving forward. That's kind of just a summary of what we'll be doing.
Okay, so we are now opening the floor. You can ask questions over the chat, or even if you want to prefer to speak, just let us know. Or probably you can unmute yourself. If not, we will unmute.
Go ahead, Ethan.
I just asked this in the chat, but I'll repeat it here. I've had issues getting code to compile on Cray systems just because they wrap different compilers in all sorts of weird ways. Can we get access to some kind of small test system with the Cray programming environment built on it so that we can test out our compilation ahead of time?
Yeah, so I'll speak to that. We have, I guess, a number of different stages of access that we're looking into. In the short term, we're trying to get access, and we're planning to get access to some HP internal machines to play with that. That'll probably be just, our applications team and some other select folks. But we will have a test machine that gets deployed late in the summer that, will be our machine. And I think at that point we can work more closely with folks in terms of getting all the wrinkles out of that Cray computing environment. Because that is one of the risks that we're paying attention to is making sure that our default compiler and MPI and software stack that we get from the vendor plays nicely with our applications.
Thanks.
More questions, and particularly the university folks and University of Wyoming folks were pretty quiet. So
hello. Hi.
Yeah.
This is Karthik here. For the new machine, will you be testing a few standard codes to check the performance of the machine? And what will be the process of selecting those codes from your end?
Okay, well, Brian, let me take that first and you take that from there. Karthik, as Irfan mentioned, our process of selection of this machine is based on the performance or the capacity. So we already have a NWSC benchmark suite for that, and different applications has different weights associated with the performance contribution. And that's how we get to that factor of, say, 3.5 Cheyenne equivalent and things like that. So yes, vendors are required by the contract to meet the Cheyenne equivalent performance that they have projected to get out of this machine. If they fall short of that, they will have to provide additional hardware or think, pay us back in terms of money, or this needs to be discussed how they will compensate that. But they are, by contractually, they are required to achieve the performance level that they have committed to for the money that we are paying to them.
Got it. Thanks, Ashutosh. One more follow-up question. So once the machine is up and running, will you have like an early user period where we can test our code so that when we are applying for computer time, we can use that, say, scaling data?
Yes, you will have to do that. In fact, the Irfan spoke about ASD period, advanced scientific discovery. Roughly, we are expecting, if everything goes well, from January 1st, 2022 till April 1st, 2022, we will have this 3-month period dedicated to advanced scientific discovery. And this will be a mega project, something like 20 million or more core hours, scientific project that needs to be completed within this three-month period. Now, in order to apply for this project, the first thing we need to ensure that the codes are ready to run, scale well, and performs well into the machine. So obviously, there will be an early user phase. You'd assume it will be prior to January, means maybe December sometime, when you need to port your code, need to come up with the performance number in order to show that your code is performing well. Now, ASD process will start in my means my crystal ball says, right, it will be something like September timeframe this year. So you may have to produce the benchmark numbers from some other platform like Cheyenne if you are not planning to use the GPU partition to come up with a projection that how your code will perform on a new NWSC3 Cray system. But after the system is come back up online, certainly you have to retweak your code to get to what where you have projected to.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Sid, Ben asked a good question too related to ASD about when do we expect that the calls for ASD projects will be going out?
A little bit fluid, but my crystal ball says it will be sometime during August, September timeframe. And Ben is one of the prior ASD participants, I believe. So certainly we will contact him directly. And otherwise, there will be NSF solicitation for this ASD project. And ASD is much bigger than the usual NCAR allocation process, or much wider, I would say. Means that we usually solicit this in a wider user base or circulation.
Ben, let's know if that answers your question or not. So, and then Dave Gill had another good question about internal training, you know, for user training on GPUs, and would that fit under the applications effort that Brian's been talking about, I believe. It won't directly fall under the, Dave, it won't fall under directly under the applications team's charter or effort, but we have a parallel effort going on within Sizzle that we've, Anka has tagged the GPU Tiger team. Most of consulting group is involved in that, as well as some of the other, there's some members of, you know, folks who are in this meeting who are also going to be part of that. And the training for users, both internal to Sizzle internal to NCAR and universities will be the responsibility of that GPU Tiger team. And you'll be hearing more about that here very shortly.
So Sid, there's a question from Jeremy Sauer, and I think you can take this one. So it's, is there any notion of how allocations and charging will work for GPUs? Will GPU nodes be a separate queue from CPU nodes?
Jeremy, this is something we are discussing. At this point in time, the framework, what we are leaning more, I would say, is GPU will be completely separate out of the usual allocation pool that this system will have or any of our system has currently. It will be on the project basis, either from university or from NCAR or elsewhere. Users may request for GPU resources for a dedicated run. And though the file system and other things will be shared, the GPU partition will be completely separate, and there will be separate queue for GPUs. Now, over here, I'm assuming the application is such that if it is GPU-centric application, it will be running on GPU, and CPU-centric will be on CPU. But could there be applications where part of it is really running on GPU partition and communicating with its other part, which is mainly CPU partition? In theory, this is possible. Even in practice, the system will support such applications, but in practice, will such applications show up in our mix? I doubt very much, but if indeed it is, we will be flexible to that as well.
Sorry, Sid, just to follow up on that, the thing you said just now, if we have a mix, so currently it's not doable on Casper and Cheyenne, but it will be doable on NWC3, where we have a mix of CPU doing one task and mix of GPU doing another task. Did I hear that right?
That's exactly right. Means a single MPI applications can have a GPU portions running on the GPU partition and the CPU portions running on the CPU partitions and communicate with each other under the same world communicator. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking of, for example, CESM, if we replace some dynamical core with a GPU model, we can run CESM like that.
Yes. Where
the dynamical core will be running on GPU and the other dynamical core, for example, Ocean or other models, will be running on CPU.
Yes, this is very much possible, yes.
Okay, Sid, Jim asked another good question too, and he says, can you talk more about how Glade and the new file system will interact and what will happen to Glade when Cheyenne is decommissioned?
Okay, Glade is the current Glade, not the campaign storage. Campaign storage is also under the same Glade partition. So current Glade will go away, the project and the collection space will go away with the Cheyenne. Is that quite right, Bill?
Yeah, so yeah, the Glade scratch that's on Cheyenne, that would go away when Cheyenne goes away. That's my understanding. Of course, there'll be a new scratch on NWSC3. Things like work and P that are currently in Glade, those will be transitioned over into campaign storage space, is the current guidance we're getting from management. In other words, kind of long files that will need to last longer beyond and not be purged would be part of kind of campaign store in some fashion. And the file system on NWSC3, the native file system there would just be scratch. I'm not sure if that addressed the question, Jim, or not.
Yeah, and Bill, I think it's probably safe to say that nothing is set in stone yet, right?
That
a lot of these policies and decisions are still being worked out. And in fact, what were some of the guidance we're looking for from this group to help form those policies?
Yes, Jim. Yes. So if you have any opinions along this line, we very much want you to voice that, or any users here, I invite you to voice your preference and things like that.
Sid, perhaps since this is so, you know, obviously a very important matter to all users, we might consider if the rest of the group is okay with it, is making that an agenda item or a discussion item at next month's meeting, or at the storage advisors meeting, which a lot of these folks are part of.
Yeah, and just to level set on that, you know, obviously the hardware has been procured. We have this 60 petabytes of Lustre coming in, and you know, there's other moving parts with storage hardware, but a lot of the way that it's structured and the policies and the quotas, and the how it's partitioned, you know, that there's certainly still flexibility on that. So this is, you know, the earlier we can get that input, the easier we can move things around.
Okay, any other questions or topic that you would like to discuss? We will capture the discussion threads and put it under this NHUG wiki. When we will share the meeting minutes in a mail to you, we will have link to the wiki. Particularly for university folks, you need to use CIT password in order to get to our wiki if you are not familiar with it. NCAR folks are already using the wiki, so they know pretty much.
Sid, Charles Jackson asked a question. Let you take it. Will there be topics for these meetings?
The topics or the agenda items is basically up to us to decide. Already we form few agenda item, as I can see, related to storage stuff. And also a follow-up item I have noted down from Jim, the GPU Direct. So probably we will report back after working with Jim exactly what the requirements are and what the follow-up decision or the discussion from our side. So, you know, please pick up, and that will be my suggestion to you. Not only you can do it over here, but not only here. When once you get the wiki link, there you add your comment, create your page to voice your concern or agenda item for the next meeting, comment on topics. We will try to collate those things and form the agenda item for the next meeting. And that's my preference at this point. Thank you.
I think a lot in those deployment groups will happen in 1 month. So perhaps Bill and I or some assortment of folks can put together a couple slides just as a starting point for the discussion on, say, the storage and how the GPUs will be interacted with and things like that.
Okay. Jeremy has asked a question. Currently, we have 328 GPUs to begin with. How much room for more for assuming a need for expanding GPU partition with NWSC3 lifetime, a doubling? Well, at this point, I would not rule that out, the doubling, but it all depends on the usage, Jeremy. Quite frankly, this is our biggest worry. I mean, that is the good use of this partition. that is the very reason we have this GTT or the GPU Tiger team, which are aggressively working with you and others to come up with enough science cases to make this GPU partition busy for the time being. We do have funds, or we will have funds moving forward to expand GPU partitions.
And Sid, Dave just asked another good question. Of the 70 or more folks on the on this call, about how many are from the university community? I think he's concerned, are they well represented? So okay. do you have those numbers?
I do not know how many have joined though. So let me answer this. This is a good question. Obviously, since this is by selection, I try to come up with a criteria for selecting members out of this 3,000 plus users that we have. We cannot consider all of them or all of you purely because that's unpractical or impractical to manage. So we will have to select. So the selection criteria we already mentioned in the web pages, but it will be nice to spell it out over here. We picked up all the NSC or major CHAP users, like for NSC or CHAP user, anybody who has allocations for past 2 years, more than 5 million core hours on our system. The PIs of all the NSC and CHAP we have considered. We have also considered any users who have spent more than 5 million core hours over past 2 years. Then we tried to make it equitable, make enough participation for the Wyoming folks, because Wyoming has a special allocation within our systems right from the beginning after we started this NWSC. And with all this folks from different community, as well as the developer folks like Jim Edwards and few others who are helping other users, they are not themselves burning a lot of CPU hours, but helping other users to port code or use our systems. So all this folks together, we have about close to 250 users total. So that number is well represented within University, NCAR, and University of Wyoming. Then we sent this invitation to all of these users, out of which we got back positive response from about 120 users. NCAR is slightly more dominated over university because NCAR users have responded more. Currently, out of this 120 users, you leave out about 20 users from the support side. And then we have roughly 60 users from university in NCAR and about 40 users from the university. And in this call, about 110 or so are invited. I do not know how many have joined. And as we mentioned, the criteria is pretty loose. We are not denying anybody from participating. Rather, we are inviting. If you feel compelled to represent a particular group, particular usage, particular model, we encourage you to spread this word out to your colleague. We can invite them. That's how the process is currently.
Okay. Sid, I just call out, we're right at 10 o'clock. I think a couple more questions. Ali, do you want to handle those? And just
okay. So let me quickly handle
the one in particular. Go ahead, Brian.
I was going to say there's one question from Eric about current GPU utilization, and I see Jeremy pinged in on this as well. I mean, utilization is a you know, there's a couple different ways you can define that, but one important thing to keep in mind is that Casper is more of a test and development resource than a production resource as far as the V100s. We certainly have codes that run there in a production sense, but we're really looking for people to use those V100 GPUs there to prepare themselves for the bigger resource that'll come online next year. But in that sense, you know, purely from scheduler availability, we see more time periods where there's contention for those resources and a bit of a wait than they're running idle. But there is an up and down curve since it is more, you know, since it does have a development aspect to it. I know that's a bit of a fuzzy answer. It's not a number, but I think we're seeing a good amount of interest on those resources.
Yeah, I'm sure that I have all the confidence in the world that the GPU users will say that the contention is increased significantly lately.
Okay, since we are a little over 10, so unless there is any burning question, I will prefer to end to respect everybody's time here.
And if you do have a question that is more than a simple clarification question, sending that to the NHUG email, that could help us incorporate it into the next, you know, the follow-on meetings as well.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. It's nice seeing you all. And see you in a month. That is next month, 6th March, if I remember right, the next meeting date.